Well, hello, and thank you for joining us here on another edition of our Shine Anarapu Productions podcast, coming to you from Concho America. I'm Darren Brown, senior content producer here at Shine Anarapu Productions. Today, I have the Shine Anarapu Department of Labor. Hello, guys. Thanks for being here so much. All right. Well, let's start with you right here, Irwin. We'll introduce yourselves around the table, then we'll get started.
Okay. Yes, good afternoon. My name is Irwin Pamami, Jr. I'm the Executive Director for our Department of Labor.
I'm Tim Yeago. I serve as the Shine Anarapu Vocational Rehabilitation Director.
Hello, I'm Kathleen Talbert, and I'm the Tarot Director.
All right. So I know a little bit about what you guys do, but probably about that much of it. So that's why you're here. So, Irwin, I'll give you this question. Kind of give us an overview for those folks who really don't know what the Department of Labor is all about. Tell us what you do, man.
Well, what we do is to provide opportunities for employment and training for eligible Native Americans. We have federal funding, we have tribal funding, and we're actively seeking grant opportunities at this time.
Okay, and so that's very short and sweet. So who do we have represented here?
Yes.
I mean, what programs do we have here?
Yes. So within our Department of Labor, we have our administration, which is my office, our DREAMS program, which is our blended program, and then Office of Veterans Affairs. And those two programs, unfortunately, aren't here today with us. But in the meantime, we do have our Office of our Vocational Rehab program and our Tribal Employment Rights Ordinance, or TARO.
Well, let's start with Kathleen on the end. Kathleen, I know you worked for the tribes for some years, but can you tell us about what your office does?
So TARO stands for Tribal Employment Rights Ordinance. It was an ordinance that was passed by the tribes back in 95, but we've recently updated in 2023, or 22 actually. And what our main goal is Indian preference employment, ensuring that our tribal members and Native Americans that live within the service area are employed, have the first chance at employment, and also for us to ensure that employers coming onto our tribal land gives that preference. We also vet the company or the business to make sure that they are Indian-owned. Those claiming Indian preference or Indian-owned business, they have to maintain 51% of ownership of that business, and we actually go through a process to certify them, and which is a pretty lengthy process. We included looking at financials and things. But the other component is just to ensure that they're hiring Indian subcontractors. You know, we'd like to at least have about 25% of the contracting jobs to be in native businesses. The other thing is to provide assistance for EEO claims, those that feel they're discriminated on jobs that are not maybe within our service area but are not native or tribal government jobs. We can provide them access to do a pre-charge inquiry with the EEO office, also to educate them, let them know what they're entitled to, what their rights are, you know, when filing claims.
Wow, that's a lot more than I knew about. I mean, everything you said, I didn't know that. Well, we will get into that more in just a little bit, but I got to have Tim talk about voc rehab now.
Yeah. Voc rehab, it's pretty simple. We help people with disabilities, American Indians with disabilities, in their employment goal. So our age is, because you can work at 14 years old in Oklahoma, so we start at 14 all the way up to elder age. If they still want to work and they have a diagnosed disability, we want to come alongside them with services to help them in their employment goal. And a lot of times people say, what kind of services? It just depends on the disability. It depends on the individual. And there's no set specific one service. This is what we do. So just like I said, it's case by case, individual by individual. And we just want to come alongside beside people and see them successful in their employment goals.
And what you may not know is Tim also voices one of the characters on our Frybread Flats kids program.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, but I wanted you to say something.
Hey, this is not the first time he's been in this studio. So, and we're actually any of you guys, really. Irwin, you know, you mentioned at the top, you said there's federal funding and tribal funding, and I know you've all talked about services for Native American Native Americans, but I'm never quite clear, and since we have so many programs here with federal and or state and or tribal, I always have to ask. I'm never clear on, obviously, Shine Anarapu members would be the priority, but I didn't know if that includes a tribal service area only or if there's out of state involved, or there's or does it extend to other tribes as well? So could you get me hip on all that?
Yes,
get me in the know, Erwin.
Yeah. Of course, with our federal funding and stuff, it was good that you brought up the service area, because that funding, unfortunately, is restricted to our service area here in Oklahoma. However, our tribal funding, we want to model it and, provide similar services that are offered through our federal sources, but sometimes those may be a little bit limited. And I will say that all of our programs are supplemental. They're not a full ride or anything. They're just here to help you along and stuff, and we try to network with as many other partners as we have, whether they're state, other tribes, or even our local entities as well too. So, but I think in most cases though, for our out-of-state areas too, we also try to inform them of those other federally funded programs that are operating the same thing that we're doing here, because as well as us, they're counted as population through census and stuff. So.
So just like I said, I want to make it clear, get it clear in my mind. And maybe if I, my little feeble brain can understand, maybe our listeners can. So do you offer services that are for CNAs only?
Yes, we do, actually.
Is it different programs all throughout?
It's usually defined through our legislative process and everything, where they clearly define those things, and it's solely funded through tribal sources.
Okay, but and at the same time, are there services that are provided to tribal members all across the state, no matter which tribe?
Yes, there is. Okay. Our federal funding. Yeah, I know it's really intricate.
I had to ask.
Yes,
and I'm sure it's within each program there's different criteria.
That's correct. Yes, they have to meet certain things, eligibility through income, certain statuses, even like veterans as well. They receive a certain status, with some of the employment programs, that they don't have to meet certain qualifications.
So when someone calls you up, says, "Erwin, hey, I'm this tribe. Can you do this for me?" It's like I don't know. Maybe you've done it so long. You go, "Yes, no, I don't know."
No,
but I'm seeing you're. I'm sure your people can walk someone through, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh yes, and that's what I would defer them to, is just to apply for services.
Yeah, how does that process work?
Well, we have at least three different outlets, I feel. They could call us up and we can either send them an application. We do have some of our applications online on our tribal webpage.
Oh, that was my next question. I'm glad. Because we discussed that before.
Yes. And then, of course, too, if they want to go ahead and just come in to the office and visit us, we have individuals available for them to visit with and explain what's needed. Sometimes one thing leads to another. So I'd say, please, work with us on that part. Because I know somebody wants to say, "All right, I came in, I filled it out. All right, I'm done.
Where's my services?"
Yeah, I want it now.
I got it.
But sometimes one thing leads to another. Sure. So.
And Kathleen, I know, like I said, so and you said this program is still fairly new, is that what you said?
It's not new. It's just not been made aware. People were not aware of it.
Well, exactly. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I think that the process requires it's a regulatory program. So it really requires somebody to be diligent about reviewing the certification process, being able to be aware, of where job vacancies are, to establish a job bank, and also to be able to work with contractors to kind of negotiate those terms and getting a process started. One of the things that we had the ordinance, but it really didn't define a process, and that's what we've been difficult at, and it's been difficult. But this past year, I've been in this program for about almost 2 years. And we finally have a process. We're trying to streamline that process because we work with procurement, grants and contracts, and planning and development, as well as roads on any of the constructions, and trying to implement the TARO. And we also collect a fee with those contractors. And we use those resources to either pay for training that isn't available through our DREAMS program. More specifically, like our comprehensive development plan, the SEDS plan that the tribes created, where they wanted to go into different types of businesses. We want to be able to provide training for that. We're looking to develop a training school for carpentry.
That's a great idea.
And then we're also looking at providing other training just to enhance people where they're at now. How can we get our tribe more knowledgeable about the different things they could be doing within their programs.
Can we get them employment employment ready, I suppose.
Employment, not only employment ready, because I know Dreams does a lot of the work readiness type programs, but what we're trying to do is get them beyond that. You know, do you need a certification? Let's get that certification.
Okay.
If it's something for a specific skill, because we're going to be moving into this kind of a business, like the meat marketing business, or like I think there was talk about hemp production. You know, we've got this fiber optics going around, and we've got other things that are in, you know, on the fire right now that we're hoping to get people interested in and wanting to pursue a career in that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, okay, that just cleared up a whole lot for me. One other thing, and I love doing these because I learned so much, because there's some stuff I thought I knew about, but I really didn't know a whole lot. And hopefully that's our listeners and our viewers can get the same thing. So I know that whenever we have a groundbreaking here, let's say, I know that most recent, I'm thinking that we did something with the childcare.
An
expansion. So I'm always think it's really cool because we have the governors there and have all our VIPs, but they also have the architects and the construction people, and it's always a Native owned company. And I always thought that's really cool. But I guess that's part of what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
It's not just hey, by the way, let's hire a Native company. No, that's our priority, and that's what you're trying to say.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Well, the federal government allowed that Indian Preference, and I forget the name, Office of Personal Management, and then there's the Office of Federal Civil something, OFCCP.
Oh, throw in some acronyms.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. OFCCP is the one that created.
Every program has about 30.
Well, back in the 70s, they created this law, uh-huh. and it allowed for this Indian preference. And this is just an education, because one of the things we found out is like JOM, for instance. You know, there are some schools that have JOM that contracted directly and are Title VII. And so Title VII is an Indian education program, which I think is now Title VI or
Title V.
But anyway, so we have schools that are hiring non-Indians for those programs, non-natives. And I happen to have a call from someone for a reference about an individual that I had worked with and was Native, and they were getting their teacher credential. And I actually told them, I said, you know, by law, you're supposed to hire a Native. Because you're providing services to Native students, and this is a Native program, and by law, you should be hiring a Native person first. Priority goes to the Native person, applicant, before you go to a non-Native applicant. And I said, so how many tutors do you have? And she was like, oh, this many. And I was like, how many of them are Native? And it was like, none of them were. And this applicant happened to be the first applicant. And I said, well, the priority needs to go out to Natives. But I don't know how many people are aware of that. And, and it's written in the grant guidelines.
Yeah.
But and a lot of people say, well, that's, you know, that's racism, or that's, you know. And
that was my next question.
But it's not. But it's not. And so they clarified it by saying this is kind of like a political categorization, rather than
different.
A racial categorization.
It's a little different.
Yes, because we're citizens of this tribe. We have the ability to say that only these citizens, just like in Oklahoma, only Oklahoma citizens are supposed to comply with certain laws, not residents of Texas or anything. Well, it's the same thing, like only citizens of the Shinarabo tribes or of these tribes have the ability to do these things, and that's the preference.
Well, now we're getting somewhere, right? All right. Well, Tim, before we even get there, you mentioned Dreams.
Yes.
Can you explain what that is? And is that an acronym for something?
Yes. It's an acronym is for Developing Responsible Employees.
I just put you on the spot.
I know. I was like, let me think real quick. Yeah. Developing Employees.
Somebody look it up real quick.
Developing Employees.
Developing responsible employees and marketing success.
Yes.
We knew. I knew one of y'all had it.
Yeah.
And I'll just let you go. But it involves young people as well, right?
Yes, we have an employment program for youth during the summertime, usually during June and July, and
can you talk about that real quickly?
Yes, we.
Well, my director, you know, they've opened it up right now and stuff. And so they've been advertising and we've actually been allowed to extend to a certain amount of, again, like we talked about earlier, about we received additional funding through the tribes itself, through a legislative process. So therefore, we've expanded and extended our deadline for that program.
But the great thing is it's getting kids, bringing them in and giving them a little taste of the real world.
Yes.
Which I think you can never go wrong with, you know.
Yes. And the age group, again, is 14 to 24. The additional funding was also kind of geared a little bit more towards individuals that may be in college. So some of our youth that are returning to us. So it's not just for young folks, really young folks. It's also for, you know, those that are getting prepared to, you know, enter the workforce. And I think that's one great aspect for the program, as well as providing those good work habits. They do have programs like that that, you know, emphasize, you know, the stuff that, you know, I mean, you know, we know that not everywhere, you know, we had someone looking over us to tell us, you know, no one's going to be there to tell you to get up and get ready, brush your teeth, comb your hair, you know, put deodorant on, iron your clothes, you know, because, you know, I mean, and that's it. You know, I mean, we want to make sure that, you know, when they, you know, enter their employment, you know, that, yeah, they do have that greater understanding of what's going to be expected of them. So that way there's no, I just thought I would just get up and just head on into work and, you know, hair's messed up, bad breath. And, you know, but, you know, because that's it, you know, we want them to be retained. Yeah. You know, have that understanding for retainment.
Y'all are all checking your hair right now, right? Checking your breath.
Yeah, I know. I was like, go eat the onion burger. You'd be checking your breath there. Yeah.
Hey, you hit up Johnny's. You got to go brush your teeth real fast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. Okay, Tim, you talked about voc rehab a little bit. And I know that you mentioned services are kind of like customized. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some like examples? I'm curious.
Oh, yeah, sure. A lot of schooling, a lot of training for individuals, retraining. You know, sometimes the disability that the individual may have, they can't do their previous job. Mm-hmm. So we want to retrain them with other services. I mean, I think of, so we've done a lot of retraining with schooling, not just college, CDL training. I mean, we've done one was like the fiber optic training. We partnered with them. It's a cool collaboration with Dreams also, is that like, Dreams will come along and help with tuition. And we'll co-serve some clients, and they'll like pay tuition, and we'll come along and we'll get those tools they need, because those tools are very they're very specialized, and so we've done that, and we'll partner with that, and so just depending on what the individual needs,
in here really quickly. I don't want to, you know, I'm just because people, I mean, are curious like me, you mentioned disabilities, and I know that that's a whole. That word can mean a lot of things, but can you just give us provide us some examples, like an individual who may have this issue, or maybe they can't do this anymore?
I mean. Absolutely. When you think of Indian country, one of our big ones is diabetes, and diabetes in and of itself isn't a disabling condition. However, there are symptoms of diabetes, you know, like neuropathy. Therefore, it's limited mobility, limited function in the legs sometimes. Limited eyesight, you know, and so it just depends on the specific diagnosis that individual has that impedes their employment, you know.
Impedes like, the peak performance,
yeah,
I guess.
Their disability is causing an impediment to get to their goal or to reach their goals. So we come alongside them to help them kind of alleviate that hump, you know. Always tell our clients, you know, we're not going to do it for you, but we're going to help you kind of get over the hill a little bit. And so I think of individuals right now. I think of one individual who sat up front and they really had a customer service job, and the individual didn't have an eye. And so we would normally just go buy an eye for somebody, but because this individual sat up front and because their job required them to be seen by the public, we wanted them to feel confident in what they did. So we went ahead and helped purchase that with their insurance, and with some of their out-of-pocket expense, we covered it to help them have that prosthesis so they could feel – so they could do their job well and things like that and feel confident in their employment.
And I'm guessing that you have it sounds like you've got a lot of success stories.
There are. And sometimes it just depends. You know, sometimes they come few, sometimes they come a lot. But when you get those successes, you realize it's all worth it, all the services we put into it. Because individuals with disabilities, they're already kind of, you know, having to overcome something.
Yeah.
And so when you see them success, it means much more for us and for them. And they're very thankful. A lot of people are very thankful for our services.
Yeah, I know, Irwin, at the very beginning you said, I forget how you put it, but you said you're trying to help our tribal people become or stay gainfully employed, something like that.
Oh yeah.
So that again, like just like, you know, that's a huge statement. And I, you know, like when you talk about a mission statement like that, I talk about the one we have here at Cheyenne Arapaho Productions, and I said, you know, that's a lofty goal, and I couldn't say with 100% certainty that we hit it every day, but I said, but we sure as heck try every day. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that's what I get from you guys. So you know, discuss, you know, that a little more full. You want to, there's so much stuff involved.
There is, yes. And kind of like what Tim mentioned earlier, you know, I mean, a lot of the programs under labor do co-serve. You know, I mean, I've seen one client, I think, that received almost, not saying every service, but they, you know, if they were a veteran, happened to have a disability, looking for employment, they registered with a job bank. This could be the whole setup for somebody.
Wow,
for,
I hadn't thought
you know,
about it that way.
For, you know, for blending
that. It's like
that
a buffet.
Type of...
I mean, it's like, I mean, in the best way for that
right,
person.
Right, right. And then we also want to make sure that, you know, when our people come to us that, you know, we are, you know, addressing, you know, and providing, you know, those positive solutions for them. And if it does take all four programs to help them out, you know, then great, you know. And while we're also doing that, you know, we're communicating effectively to ensure we don't duplicate anything, because we know sometimes, you know, somebody might have got something twice when they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to make sure that we're stretching our dollars to meet the needs of our community.
Mm-hmm. I know, man, now we're getting, like I said, and just all kind of stuff. I know one of the things, I'm really good at forgetting stuff when I get up here. So I know that, I'm glad you brought some notes. I know that one of the things you all wanted to talk about was you do career fairs, like I guess, is it one a year?
Yes, we do. We do have one in the spring. It's usually around April or May. We had one last year at May here, and it was in El Reno at the Canadian County Expo Center. And then this year we're going to be in Clinton at the Frisco Center there.
Okay. So what goes on at these career fairs? Well, I mean, I know what a career fair is. But I think most people do. But this is, you know, since this year, since it's the Department of Labor, it takes on a whole new thing.
Yes. What we want to do is, of course, you know, inform our partners, such as training partners, you know, at the tech centers or colleges, our trades services, such as, you know, carpentry, you know, bricklaying, things like that, as well as also bring in recruiters too, as well, you know, from the armed forces, and of course just local employers too, and then, you know, tribal programs that also, you know, provide services such as our education programs and our health programs too.
Now, when you have one of these, I know that, like I said, you've got so many, there's so many tribal programs who I think probably there's probably a lot of people who never, I mean, obviously, we're all here working for the tribe. So, but I'm just saying there may be a lot of people who like, oh, I never really thought of that, you know, or maybe their parents never did, or their family members didn't work for the tribes, but maybe they even work in the, I guess we would call it the private sector, whatever, or other businesses. Do you find that they're blown away by what the tribes offer?
The individuals or the employers?
Well, the individuals.
Okay. Well, at times,
there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's a little bit too much for them to, you know, digest all at once. But, you know, again, too, that's why, you know, we want to have, you know, those positive, you know, avenues for them, either through counseling, whether it's voc rehab or dreams, and providing, you know, those understands that there are opportunities out here, you know, and applying for them. And we know not everybody's the same. So, you know, whatever their criteria they need to, you know, provide, you know, we try to do our best to make sure that they're prepared. So when they do come in, you know, they have everything, because sometimes we know distance is the biggest barrier we have out here in Western Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
So, you
preach,
know,
preach.
And we just want to make sure that, you know, I mean, it's just, well, for one, you know, that, you know, we're meeting that barrier, you know, as like we said earlier about, you know, online applications, you know, or getting it mailed to them. But then when they come in, we also have other offices outside of Concho. We have one in Clinton, which is the old EMS building over there, kind of by the,
in front of the senior center thing?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say the nutrition center.
Yeah,
the nutrition center. And then we also have one in Watonga over there next to the little Apple Mart grocery store.
Okay,
so,
all right.
So we have those areas so people can come in and either by appointment or just if they just come by, you know, at least in Clinton, we have people there all week long. Watonga's more by appointment, so at this point.
And you I believe you mentioned at these career fairs, you have other businesses like from around the community that show up. And I guess they're looking for employees as well, right?
Right, yeah. We researched the area where we're going to be at to have the most relevant.
Do they get invites to come?
Yes, they
do. Or do they, I mean, I'm just Would you have employers who say, hey, can I be your job fair?
Yeah, we have a request form and stuff that we send out to the vendors that identify certain things of who they are, you know, of course, contact information, and as well as, you know, what type of employment, service, training, whatever they're there to provide, you know. And that way we're able to record that information, and therefore, you know, if we're having another one in their area, you know, we want to reach out to them again as long as they're, you know, providing those opportunities for our people.
Because I think as we do these podcasts, we talk to so many different programs. One thing that keeps coming across is that, and I believe every program I've talked to has said it, man, it doesn't happen without partnerships.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You can't do it. You can't go anything alone. And I think there's, I know that we've done so many where programs, the tribes here partner with El Reno. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we're talking about the tribal service area. We're talking about Clinton and Weatherford and Watonga and even some of the smaller towns, mm-hmm. I guess, like Gary and who else am I missing?
Thomas.
But I mean, we're getting buy-in from employers in those small towns as well. Is that what you're saying?
It depends, you know, of course, whether they're hiring or not. You know, of course, we want to be, you know, visible to them as well, you know, to let them know that, you know, we are in the area and we do have that symbiotic relationship with them, whether they like it or not. You know, our tax dollars are helping them as well, you know. So, I mean, you know, of course, they always say, you know, buy here, stay here, you know. So, but, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, they are involved, or at least we put the olive branch out there for them to be involved.
Oh, you got to extend the branch, don't you? I know we wanted to talk about the career fair. There was something.
Direct services
thank
for
you,
the
thank
programs,
you.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Again, you know, I don't have my notebook with me, so Erwin, it's all you, baby. Tell us about those direct
services.
I'll let
the programs tell about
them
in more
detail.
Even
better.
Because I don't specifically have any direct services, just the administration. I just help them, you know,
even
with administrative
better.
Stuff.
Who wants
to
go?
So if anybody wants to go first. All right, Tim?
Kind of like I said, our services, it just depends on the individual, you know, kind of like we talked about earlier. One of the areas we're really trying to push for, though, now is kind of a new initiative with partnering with Dreams. And I know Kathleen, she came out with our Sage Club students. It's a club we developed last summer, youth, called Students Achieving Gainful Employment Sage Club. And what we did this past year was we went through we partnered with El Reno Indian Education. I'm sure most people know Miss Linda Halbutta, mm-hmm. and we partnered with her, and we were in the classroom. On Friday afternoons, teaching work skills, work readiness skills, resume skills, and we also incorporated traditional entrepreneurship in the spring. And we actually had Miss Kathleen; she came out and taught a class on those little mini headdresses. And so we're teaching we're teaching these youth these basic skills. Also, but also there's an implement of traditional element where this past spring we made hand drums. We did earrings. We did things like that that really kind of showcased what we do as Native people and how we can create our own businesses and have those transferable skills to kind of move forward if there's an opportunity. Because I always tell the kids, like, the reality is we're trying to get you ready because, honestly, you're going to come and you're going to replace me. You're going to replace Erwin. You're going to replace all of us one day.
Not me. No, I'm kidding.
I'm not flash either.
No, I'm kidding. You mentioned basic skills. And what grade range is this?
This is it's high school freshman to senior.
Okay.
Because our services are geared toward older, 14 and up.
The thing that jumped out at me, you said basic skills. Let's see. Do you find, and I'm talking to everybody here, when you do stuff like this, do you find that there are a lot of skills that they need for gainful employment that are lacking? And what do you see those? What do you see that's lacking? And this is for both of you or whoever.
I find for a resume, there may not be a lack of skills, but a lack of awareness of their soft skills. And soft skills are those inherent characteristics you already have, like quick learner, reliable, punctual. The youth will tell you, I tell them all the time about soft skills. Everyone has soft skills. So I think there's a lack of awareness of having those and like fleshing those out on a resume and to make you more employable.
Hey, that's right. It doesn't matter how smart you are if you never show up on time.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's a big one. We tell them, show up.
Hey, you can't be smart in my office if you ain't here, right? Kathleen, you know it's the same thing?
I think soft skills, but also just, you know, asking questions, following directions, you know, that's a simple skill. I mean, parents are always telling their kids what to do, But, you know, how many parents actually hold their kids accountable for what
they're
doing?
Ooh, now we're
setting
preaching.
Expectations.
We're going to have to pass the plate.
But I think setting those expectations help kids learn this is what I need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And because eventually that's going to be the job later on. Mm-hmm. Washing dishes, you know. A lot of parents, we don't give our kids chores anymore. Mm-hmm. I find a lot of families that aren't letting their kids, they want to do everything because maybe they had to do it when they were younger. They're like, oh, I'm going to spare my child from having to do this.
Yeah.
And so I was like, no, go ahead. Basketball is important. You know, we're not going to worry about these skills, you know.
Oh,
as long as you're doing
man.
Basketball, you're good. But these day-to-day skills, the day-to-day interaction, communication
yeah,
with our kids.
I'm so glad you said that. I think because we get the opportunity here at Cheyenne Rapid Productions to do a lot of career type stuff as well. You know, there's Indian Youth Career Day with high schools, we always do. And the great thing is we get to talk to high school kids and college kids as well. We try to, you know, gauge interest in what we're doing, you know, as far as media goes. And what I will, you know, when I was a kid, I was super shy. I know you don't believe that, but I was. And probably until I was in high school, I really was. But I see it, and I understand that, you know, for a lot of Native kids, that's probably the way they were raised. I understand that. But when you said communication, a lot of times they will not go up in front of the class and speak. A lot of times they won't even speak from their desk. If I call on someone, they just give me this look like if I say anything, everybody's going to make fun of me. That's the worst that'll happen? Hey, that's going to happen a lot more, so get over it. But I think communications, that's something that's, first of all, as Indian people, it's been so important to us since time immemorial, right? We're the original storytellers. We should own that.
Exactly.
But when it comes to, I took a class in college. It was all about Indian oratory. And there was all these fantastic speeches from these fantastic chiefs. And things like that bother me. I know these kids have potential, but they will not, even they may be the smartest kids, but with all these skills in the world, but they cannot stand in front of people and speak. How do we, is that something you guys notice, or are you able to address at all?
Well, I think it goes back to the home.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you talk about talking, you know, and from the time that they're babies, you know, a lot of people was like, oh, there's a baby. Just keep him in the bed. Keep him in the little swing. Keep him in the little rocker.
Yeah.
And there's like not a lot of holding. And, you know, if you think traditionally, we held those babies and we talked to them. We sang to them. And even if we knew they didn't, in our minds, we're like, well, they can't talk back to me. So why am I talking to them? But you talk to them, oh, you know, and you tell them what you're doing. Or, you know, as they get older, as toddlers, you know, you begin to show them things and talk to them and interact with them daily. You know, but I don't think a lot of that is happening. It's like, you know, I got my business. You do your business. You got a room full of toys. Go play.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't, you know, help.
I can see that.
Help that happen. And then I used to do parenting classes. And one of the things that they did talk about was the stories. When we share our family stories and we share them among, you know, just in general, eating at the table or one evening we decide we want to just visit and talk about grandma or great grandma or, you know, what it was like a long time ago. You know, when we share those stories, we build self-esteem in our kids. And then when we're able to have them retell those stories, like even when you're like, when you're growing up and you're driving, you're like, hey, I went to that school when I was younger. And then you tell
a
story.
Oh, I do that all the time.
You know,
ask
but,
my kids.
But later
it.
On, the kids will be like,
yeah.
You know, when they're a little bit older, when they're still kids and they're like, Dad, you went to that school? Mom, you went to that school? You know, and then my grandkids always tell my husband, is like, remember that time you did this, you know, because he would tell them about different things. But, you know, that creates that mm-hmm. communication. They're able to retell the stories that you once told them. And when they're able to do that at home, that builds their confidence. And when they have confidence, they begin to trust. But when you don't have confidence, you don't trust. So that makes you less leery to talk to other strangers because you're not confident yourself. And so that's something that has to be begin from young. So now, how do we help our kids today? You know, now we've got the phones, we've got the iPads, all these electronics.
As I jump in, those communication skills are important in almost every line of work. Let's just to bring it back around. I mean, you know, if you're having an issue with your the project you're doing, if you don't ask for help, you know, if you don't know how to communicate.
Well, that's just like this career fair. We're going to have tons of kids coming through. But if all they're doing is coming by is like, what's free? I'm going to get the freebies. But nobody's dialoguing.
Yeah, yeah.
The booth people aren't,
I see that
the
all the
booth
time.
People aren't saying anything to the kids, and the kids aren't saying anything.
Because that, so like, that's like, yeah, that falls on the adults as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man, ooh, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you can't.
Hey, you started out talking about the Department of Labor. We got a now we got a conversation on parenting. Man, me and Kathleen going to sit here. Y'all can leave. Well, look, this has been awesome, and I don't want to go. We can go another 30 minutes, but I don't want to. I know we've covered a lot, and I don't want to cover it at the same ground. But as I understand, we're going to have some more folks from your program here in another episode. So don't worry. We're going to let you know more about the Department of Labor, more than you'll ever want to know about the Cheyenne and Arapahoe Department of Labor. So I want to thank you all sincerely for being here and hipping me more to. Help me to understand what you do for our people. So thank you. Ha ho. And we will see you next time on Cheyenne and Arapahoe Productions podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.